WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, you are indeed listening to Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. Just a little quick tease to the show. We got State Representative Joan Moschino joining us. We have Richard Rosen. We have another candidate. I think we have Thomas Moakley joining us. Kerry J. Byrne. Bob Parkus. But first, we want to kind of give you a little bit of information for a upcoming event at the Living Word Church in Rockland. We have Vinny Fisher, who is here to tell us about this upcoming event. If you will, give us some information, Vinny, about this performance. I think it's a Christmas show, yes?
Yeah, so it is. It's a Christmas show that really puts Christ back into Christmas. We noticed that it kind of, over the past years, it's been transferring to more be about just worldly, like getting gifts, doing things like that. Rather than really emphasizing what Christmas is all about. So we put on a show. It's a five-part skit that's actually broken up with two really good hosts that are just the comedic relief. It's really good.
And you're in it.
And I am in it, yes. Me and my wife and then a couple other, probably a dozen other people from our church. We had a show this weekend that was phenomenal. It went really well. And then we have another show coming up this coming weekend, the 21st and the 22nd. Both of those start at 3 p.m. and they're just it's a really great time. It's good for the whole family. Tickets are $12 a person or $35 for the family, which four or more, no matter how much, it's $35 for that.
Well, we want to thank you very much. And where is the Living Word Church located, if you could tell
us?
So
we are located at 170 Weymouth Street in Rockland, right off the highway. It's quick and easy to get to. Yeah.
Well, I want to wish you not only a Merry Christmas, but hopefully you'll be able to break a leg. A clever way of saying good luck to a thespian. I hope it goes well. And again, we usually try to promote these on a regular basis. So thank you for stopping by for a few moments.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for our brief guest, Vinny Fisher, talking to us about the Wonder of Christmas presents the Christmas show, with a Christmas drama and music, Adventures with Mrs. Claus, coming up this weekend, the 21st and 22nd. The Living Church, located at 170 Weymouth Street in Rockland. You want to find out more information, thewonderofchristmas.net for tickets and info. Just want to tease, so we get to joining us in just a moment. I see State Representative Joan Moschino is going to be joining us. Can't wait. As we get a little bit of a wrap-up conversation to the year 2019 from Rep. Moschino. Following Rep. Moschino, we will speak to Mr. Richard Rosen, as he has a fantastic New Year's Eve event taking place at the patio. We'll get all the details from Richard in just a couple of moments, but right now, time for us to give you one final traffic report for the evening. We have brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop. Online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and New Bedford.
Well, thanks, Kevin. The expressway southbound's inching along from the tunnel down to South Bay. You get some running room, but you're back in it after Bryant Ave down to the split. Northbound stop and go passing Neponset Circle and again approaching the tunnel. Route 3 South delays from the expressway down past Union Street. And Route 24 South, that's slow from Canton through Avon. Busy again down past 495. This report is sponsored by Aussie.com. Get smarter every day at Aussie.com, a site about the most interesting people, places, and ideas. Try Aussie's online quiz today and win 2 free tickets to anywhere on United. OZY.com. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
'Twas 3 a.m. Christmas morning. Not a creature was moving, except for my brother Dave Jr., who had already been downstairs. When my brother woke me up out of bed, he said, "Come downstairs, Santa was there." Reluctantly, I followed to see what was there. As we reached the last step, we heard from up there, "Dad!
Jeffrey! David! Get back in bed now!"
Oops, looks like we just made the naughty list. Merry Christmas and happy holiday from us at Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Well, if you listen to the radio program on a regular basis, you know that usually the first segment right out of traffic is our State House report. And we have a fine set of legislators here on the South Shore. The delegation is second to none, and I'm fortunate enough to have a group of them come down. I mean, when I say group of them, they'll come down individually. I even had one time, I had three of them just show up on spur of a moment, and interesting enough is our guest today happened to have been one of the three. I think it wasn't your, and of course I'm saying your, we have Representative Joan Moschino, who is here. Was it your segment, or was it, whose segment was it?
It was my segment.
It was your segment, and she's, let's do a girl segment, and we had Representative Lenatra and Representative Sullivan, and...
No, it was fun. We had been up at the State House earlier in the day, and I had been speaking with Rep. Lenatra, and I said, "Oh, I've got to run. We've got to get down to the South Shore for Monday Night Talk." And we just, I don't know how it came up, but I was like, "You've got to come with me." And she just said, "Well, let's call Rep. Sullivan as well." And we descended on the station and took over the newsroom.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great to have you in here. You had a chance to kind of chat about something, which is good, and it's I can't say it enough that I am appreciative that the legislators who reside south of Boston realize what an asset this radio station is, and even this program. I've yet to have a legislator, whether it's a state senator or a state representative, saying, "No, absolutely, I will not appear in your program." It's the opportunity is seen as an, you can get your voice out there and talk about what you're working on. And it's going to bode well, you know, if people have questions, you can say, "Listen, it's, you know, if you don't know," especially this show, it's put up as a podcast, so they can listen to it over and over and over again.
Well, I think it's important how we communicate with the public nowadays and really get the fact that the delegation is here and we're working for people. That's what we do. That's what state reps do. And any time that I have a chance to talk, at least you hear my voice. I hope that people hear that I'm friendly, accessible. We want you to call the office. As you've heard me say many times before, constituent services is the number one priority, at least for me, and I can assure you for the rest of the South Shore delegation as well. So it's important to me that people know that even if you aren't sure, even if you just think maybe she could help me, please call 617-722-2320. It's either myself or my legislative aide, Colette Medulla, and we're happy to listen. And if we can't actually help you with your problem, we're going to help you find someone who can.
So I thought it was warranted to ask you about last week. We had a little bit of a surplus.
A lot of excitement.
I also heard there's a lot of pushback that if in fact something wasn't done with this, there was a state comptroller who was saying, I'll find a place to put this. I think it was more so wanted to put it into the stabilization fund. What's your understanding? What ended up coming of it? Did it get put into a supplemental budget and dispersed? What's your thoughts?
So what traditionally happens, And anybody who follows town meeting will understand this. As you come in throughout the year, and especially towards the end of the year, the governor will file supplemental budgets. And it's really a housekeeping mechanism to fund deficit accounts, to transfer money around. We do the same thing at town meeting, so everyone should be pretty familiar with the concept. What happened this year was there was some disagreement between the House and the Senate. By and large, there was the lion's share. I think it was originally a $770 million sub budget. There was a lot of agreement, but there were just a few places where the House and the Senate took exception with what each other was doing procedurally and on some policy matters. Unfortunately, that held that up. And what it was is the comptroller has said, I really, by law, need to close the books. And so his default position was, I will put the entire amount of money into the stabilization fund, which is an appropriate place to house it, until such time as the legislature agreed. The legislature was able to agree right at the end on Wednesday, and as a junior legislator, I didn't have a whole lot to say about where the spending was, and quite frankly, a lot of these things are things like accepting contracts and funding, you know, pay raises or funding deficit accounts with small surpluses. It's really just closing out the books and the details. But I was very pleased that both chambers agreed to put a significant amount of money into our stabilization fund. I'm just as a financial matter, I think whenever you have that kind of a surplus, especially revenues that are not necessarily recurring, you just do the smart thing that we would all do in our own housekeeping. You put a little money away, and I was really glad to see that we did.
And knowing that the economy itself can be somewhat cyclical, you know, 1 minute it's up and then it trends down and then it trends back up. It doesn't hurt to have that in case there is some slow growth and you're not generating the revenue that you may have predicted or forecasted.
No, I agree 100%. And, you know, we have been reading in the paper about the slowing of the economy. We haven't really seen it quite yet. But I say be smart. Be financially sound. It also speaks well to all the bond ratings and when Moody's comes in and looks. And quite frankly, I just say be prepared for the rainy day.
Any idea? I don't know if you have this number off the top of your head because I'm asking you this organically. Do we know where the number sits? Is it a little more north of $2 billion or $3 billion?
$3 billion. Yeah. At this point, this will put us over $3 billion, which is, I think, a really smart place to be. Where they're trying to, I can't recall precisely what the original numbers were because they did change during the negotiations between the House and the Senate. But they changed for the positive. So if it was originally $400 million that was going in and that would put us over, now it's more like $500 million that's going in. But we can get you this. We can get you those numbers anytime soon.
Well, we'll have to have you back in during the new year and the new decade, per se.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, this is your last appearance. You're one of the few left that I haven't had on for the end of the year, end of the decade conversation. So, but let's
end of the decade. Oh God,
I know, isn't it crazy?
It's crazy.
If you had a moment, again, we're speaking with State Representative Joan Moschino, and we're very thankful that she is here to chat with us this evening. If you could kind of pick a couple of pieces of legislation as you're closing out the first half of your legislative session, whether it's something that happened recently or something that happened prior to budget proceedings in the spring, what would you say would be something that's top of the mind, you're kind of happy that you were able to get something done?
So there have been a lot of exciting things, but I have to say for me personally, this has really been a year about children. We lifted the cap on kids. That's where we made sure that it didn't matter what your birth order was, that you could, no matter which, whether you're the first or you're the third, it didn't matter. We gave the same benefits to children in poverty. We made sure that we had breakfast after the bell. We just passed that on the House side. And it's just as simple as making sure that every child that comes through the schools, no matter what their circumstances, has a good meal in the morning and has a full tummy. So when they're sitting down, you know, they're ready for learning, and that we're supporting all kids, no matter what their circumstances. And of course, one of the other big ones was the Student Opportunity Act, which really is a transformative piece of legislation. This is about investing in the education of poor children who live in concentrations of poverty. So we all have children who are poor in our districts, but there are some districts where the concentrations of poverty are upwards of 80%. And this is the kind of an investment that's really going to make a difference to build equity into the system and make sure it doesn't matter what your zip code is, you're getting that really great Massachusetts education. That's exciting stuff.
If I'm correct, and you're talking about the $1.5 billion bill that was signed into law that's going to go beyond 7 years. That's basically a revamp of the Educational Reform Act of 1993. It's kind of version two, is it not?
Yes. So what we did in 1993 was really school finance reform, and it was about how we create thresholds for spending, but then also what the state's commitment is to supporting the municipalities across the board. And so really, we've had 25 years of experience, and what we saw was that original law really did elevate what we're doing for education for the children. But since that time, what we've seen is that moderately wealthy to really wealthy districts were spending so much more. And so that was where the achievement gap was really coming in, is that some districts were really finding and spending the money. Other districts wanted to but couldn't. And so what it really, we're trying to get at a structural deficit, and the state is taking responsibility to really elevate and to build that equity and fund where we need it. We know that it costs more money to educate children in poverty. So that's where the state's stepping up. And there were other things that everybody gets something out of that bill. So, we're making a full commitment on our, they call it SPED, the Special Education Fund.
I was going to ask you about that.
Through the circuit breaker. The legislature hasn't traditionally kept pace with that, and now we're going to. That's a commitment around transportation, around different, around the health benefits for teachers. Things that are extraordinary expenses that really tax the regular district. So it's that commitment on the part of the legislature, and it was an honor and a privilege to actually get to vote for something like that. So that's big.
Does this bill, because traditionally, and we're coming into state elections next year, and a lot of the conversations that we hear with folks who are seeking re-election, who are running for office, whatever the office may be, and one of the things that they talk about are unfunded mandates. Does this legislation tackle a lot of those unfunded? Does it touch many of those unfunded mandates?
So, yes, a little bit. It's certainly, it's our commitment when we're talking about special education, right? Those are the extraordinary expenses. Those are obligations from federal government. But there are certainly things like transportation. Those are things that that we share those expenses. And I agree. I really think that the state needs to step up in these ways and really, bolster our municipalities and their obligation to provide education. Those are exactly the kinds of things we can do. It's not precisely, I'd say this bill is more about really the investments in extraordinary expenses and the things that we know everybody wants to do, but they just don't necessarily have the bandwidth. So it's really, it's the state meeting its own obligations. The one place that I think districts are going to struggle a little bit is there were some accountability and reporting requirements, which is absolutely positively critical to success. But I think we're going to find that some of that is going to be a little burdensome on it's probably going to end up hiring people. I mean, to accommodate those kinds of things. So we'll see how that works out. But I think you need that accountability piece, that transparency piece, to make sure that everybody's really using the money in the best way possible, and quite frankly, to share ideas. I mean, it's really meant to be about your district, about the individual district, and letting them use the money in the way that they know will be best serving their children. But we also need to share information as well, so it's exciting.
What are you looking forward to for the second half of your legislative session? Anything you're looking at, whether it's bill filing, whether it's, you know, the 2021 budget, because here it is. We're already thinking ahead
to the budget.
So
there's a couple of exciting things coming up. I'm sure everybody's been talking about the governor's transportation climate initiative, the TCI, which is cap and invest on transportation and auto emissions. But with that, he also filed a transportation bond bill. And so I think there's some real opportunity there to have a conversation around a system of transportation. And for the South Shore, that is so important. We are choked by congestion, and it's so hard to get to work even around the district. And so for us, you know, expanding the ferries and really making sure that they are an integrated part, expanding the bus system and the commuter rail. I mean, those are really important things for us. And quite frankly, any roadway improvements is just a huge benefit to us. So I think there's some opportunity there to really, for the legislature to have a conversation around alleviating some of the congestion that we are just choked with. At the same time, it's also an opportunity to start thinking about climate emissions and carbon emission reductions, because transportation is the number one emission that we're tackling right now. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of exciting to, that's heady stuff, right? It's hard to get at those things. It's transformative. And then, of course, the other thing for me personally is that I had filed the 2050 roadmap to a clean and thriving Massachusetts, which is the update to the Global Warming Solutions Act. It is around resetting that carbon emission reduction goal to carbon neutrality, and to really push the administration to do the planning, thoughtful, people-centered planning. Everybody should benefit from these kinds of changes to our economy. So it's exciting stuff, and we'll see if we can get it passed in the new year. So I'm actually super excited about the opportunities that are coming up for our district, and looking ahead to closing out the legislative session next year. It's actually really exciting stuff. It's fun.
We've got just a couple of moments left here with you. We thank you, Representative Moschino, for joining us. And we thank Colette as well, who's fantastic and was pivotal. And AIDS is so essential to whether you're a state rep or state senator. And so it's appreciative when I'm able to interact and work and have someone who is cognitive of what I'm trying to do and cognitive of the message you're trying to deliver. I would ask you, final question.
Sure.
What are you thankful for this holiday season? What are you thankful for as we're closing out 2019?
Oh, family. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where it begins and ends, is family. And you've met my husband.
He's awesome.
He's incredibly supportive. You know, you were talking about the legislative aid, and that's what actually made me think about this, is yes, an individual steps forward and runs for public office, and that person is the face, is the leader. But the reality of it is that it is a team effort, and don't let anyone tell you differently. You cannot do this job if you don't have a terrific legislative aide and good staff. You cannot do a campaign if you don't have a great campaign manager and a team to work with. And let me tell you something, you really can't do this job if you don't have a supportive family every step of the way. It's big things, it's small things. Sometimes even when you're just out and about and people see you, I try to be very present in the community because I want people to approach me, and I want people to feel like they don't have to just swing by my office hours. They don't have to take a big step and call the office. You can just say hi to me. And that sometimes takes a toll on the family and the spouse, as people are always looking for your time. But I have a tremendously supportive husband, and I have a tremendously supportive family, and I have a fabulous aide. Really, it makes the job fun. and interesting.
That's
so,
the key.
Yeah.
So then wait, you're actually cheating because if you're having fun, it's not work.
Oh, don't tell anyone.
we want to thank you so much. We want to wish you and yours happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You as well.
And we look forward to having you back in after the new year.
Excellent. Happy holidays to all of your listeners as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, wraps up our very first segment, and now we're starting off on a great note here. We'll be back in just a moment. You are indeed listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
All year long, you want to give a little extra. Toys for Tots in Plymouth has your chance to do exactly that. When you're Christmas shopping, simply pick up one extra toy and give it. Plymouth Fire Department and Firefighters Local 1768 are collecting donations for their 13th annual Toys for Tots. Through December 21st, you can drop unwrapped, age-appropriate toys at Station 1 headquarters at 114 Sandwich Street in Plymouth and Station 6 Cedarville at 2209 State Road in Plymouth. If you live closer to Marshfield, feel free to drop your donation off at the WATD office during business hours. We're at 130 Enterprise Drive in Marshfield. While toys for children of any age are greatly appreciated, teenagers are often overlooked, and they would appreciate receiving some holiday cheer as well. This is the 13th annual Toys for Tots Drive run by the Plymouth Fire Department and Firefighters Local 1768. With promotional assistance from Tiny & Sons Glass in Pembroke, whether helping your vehicle's windshield or children in need, his boys do a good job.
Join the Bay Players of Duxbury for our next production, A Christmas House, a Christmas story written by Plymouth resident Mary Ann Withington, featuring original music along with classic Christmas carols. A charming story of an antique colonial house along with generations of families that share their holidays within its walls. Three performances only, this Friday night at 8, Saturday night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 3 at the First Parish Church in Duxbury. Buy your tickets online at bayplayers.org and like us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Chris White from Road to Responsibility. Since 1988, we've served thousands of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We provide them with homes, jobs, and therapeutic day supports. More than anything, we create a community of belonging and respect for our members throughout the South Shore and South Coast. We rely on help from our friends and business partners in the community. This holiday season, as you think about your list of gifts, think of the difference you can make locally. Your support of RTR will make lives better. Donate today at roadtoresponsibility.org.
Your friends at Travers Landscape Construction are reminding listeners that drinking and driving don't mix. This holiday season, designate before you celebrate. Travers Landscape Construction is family-owned and operated and specializes in professional landscape, hardscape, and carpentry construction, including drainage and retaining wall design and installation. Visit online at TraverseLandscapeConstruction.com or call 508-888-9432. That's 508-888-9432. Happy holidays from the caring team at Traverse Landscape Construction, reminding everyone, never drink and drive.
Is it a stroke? Even if you're not sure, act fast and call 911. Signs can include face drooping on one side, arm weakness, speech difficulty, or not making sense when talking. Time is critical. A stroke requires immediate medical care, which starts as soon as the ambulance arrives. So if you see any sign of stroke, act fast and call 911. Visit mass.gov/stroke. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health.
Zandan Health Talks with Mary Kim Carity and Michael Murphy. Tune in to get out of pain, increase athletic performance, and live your best life. Mary and Michael are the co-owners of Zandan in Norwell, where lives are changed with ancient therapies and functional medicine. Zandan Health Talks will guide you to live a pain-free life. Tomorrow night at 7 on 95.9 WATD. Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tocci and Monday Night Talk.
Monday Night Talk is very fortunate to have some fantastic folks who believe in the content that we provide on a weekly basis that we share with you, the listener. One of those individuals joining us by the phone right now is none other than the proprietor of McGuigan's and the patio at McGuigan's, Mr. Richard Rosen, who is a fixture on this program from time to time, joins us. He's actually joining us. I was thinking about this today. Probably for the last time, not only this year, but the last time this decade. It's very possible. How does that hit you, Mr. Rosen? This could be the last time that you and I are speaking on these airwaves until the new year, the new decade.
You know, Kev, it always makes me sad when it's the last of anything. It's just sad. It's just sad that this will be the last time this year.
But
you know, we'll be soon into 2020 and we'll start over again.
And what's fantastic is that's a perfect segue right into our first talking point, and that is the one thing that I have always marveled at, the one thing that I have always mentioned in regards to you as a business owner. You're not somebody who, you know, you open the business and then you make very little changes because you're seeing success. You're always tinkering. You're always tweaking. You're always adding. You're always subtracting. Whether it's food, whether it's entertainment, whether it's special events. Coming up just in less than 2 weeks, you are doing something in regards to bringing us into the new year. Would you like to share with the folks just kind of what you have planned?
So I had simply suggested at a meeting, actually it was with my daughter, who is the manager of both restaurants,
Danielle,
that we should probably do a New Year's Eve party. You know, for the last 10 years, we've done New Year's at McGuigan's Pub. And I said, I think we should do something different, maybe at the patio. And she came up with Roaring Into 2020. So we're having a large New Year's Eve party at the patio at McGuigan's. We're actually going to close the pub at 6 p.m. and give those people the night off for a change. And we're going to have a big party at the patio. And as I said, it's titled Roaring Into 2020. And it's the theme is dress as a gangster or a silent screen star, come as a flapper or come as you are. It has been received really well. There are a few tickets left. So it's $50 a person and includes one alcoholic beverage, a champagne toast at midnight, party favors, live music by Tag and Bree, who play frequently. But the best part is it's a best dress contest. So you don't have to get dressed up, but I think a lot of people are. I think it'll be kind of cool. There are not a lot of costume parties around anymore New Year's Eve, so people are looking forward to it, and I'm hearing all kinds of different get-ups that people have. I also hear that I'm going to be dressed up.
Did you check with yourself first as to whether you are going to be dressed up or not?
I have not checked with myself, but I'm being told that there is a tie coming for me to wear as something.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
I can't disclose that right now, simply because I don't know. So
who is judging the contest? Is this the folks, the staff?
I don't know that either.
Okay.
I don't know that either. I suspect that this could be a collaboration of several people that evening. So I'm not sure we have an actual panel, or it could be one of those secret committees, you know, that will just tell us at the end of the night who wins. I don't really know.
Okay. It sounds like it would be fun and interesting. And you're not somebody.
It's gonna be fun.
And you're not somebody who does something small time. You and I have had conversations in the past, and especially around this time of year, we've had conversations where you've been involved with a group of folks. Let's not forget, you know, celebrating or remembering the 75th anniversary of, you know, the Toll House cookie, coinciding with the lowering of a cookie in the center of town. Correct.
We did that on New Year's Eve a few years ago. We did it a couple of years in a row, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So, I mean, you're not a stranger. You're someone who, part of a group of folks who put together a holiday set of festivities that was supposed to only be 1 year, turned into 20 years. So I'm seeing this as being, maybe this could be the start of another tradition. Maybe.
Well, I hope so. I hope it will be. I'm sure it'll be a fun event anyway.
So if folks wanted to get tickets to this, what is there a fast way to do so, seeing that the tickets are going so fast?
Yeah, you would actually have to go to the restaurant and physically get them, see one of the managers. I don't know how many are left. I think there's some.
Okay.
But you would actually physically have to go to the restaurant to pick them up.
So that's something to keep in mind, of course, located on Washington Street in downtown Whitman. 552 Washington Street, to be exact. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for a great place not to turn a blind eye to my favorite McGuigan's Pub, but I know where I go to have brunch on Sundays and build myself a Bloody Mary. Maybe that's something you should do, my fine friends out there. If you're not, whether it's this Sunday or next Sunday, I will tell you, Richard, I was impressed with the food and with the drink to pop in on a Sunday after church and relax and take in the ambiance, especially if you're somebody who's a football, you like, you know, whether you want a nice beverage. I love the French toast. That's what I had last time, which was just a week ago. And also all the screens that you have. So if I'm kind of getting ready for football or fantasy football, I'm watching all the screens. It's fantastic.
So I'm not sure if you are aware, but yesterday morning, we had our regular Sunday brunch, but it was brunch with Santa. And we had Santa Claus in the building yesterday from 10 to 1, and he had his nice little chair in front of the 15-foot Christmas tree we had in there, and it was totally insane.
You know, can we, before you go into that, I was actually there, so we actually, me and the missus, had a chance to see the tree. How the heck did you get that big tree in there?
It's an artificial tree.
Okay.
Because I was told I couldn't put a real one in there. I guess it's against the fire code, which makes a lot of sense. So I managed to acquire this 15-foot tree, and it comes in pieces. It took a while to put it up, and it is pretty impressive, though. It's a pretty big tree.
It's a big tree, and it looks like it belongs.
Yeah, it does. It really. I'd love to leave it there all year. It really looks cool.
I was just thinking the same way. Is there not a way to be clever enough to leave the tree in there?
I'm not that clever, but we could just leave it there. I don't know. I'm not sure that would go over with some people.
It's not going to take up a lot of space.
No.
But going back to having Santa there, I mean, how great is it that, you know, it's... You had McGuigan's, and you did a lot of things with that, but now you kind of, it's like an extension. You got, again, it's the patio at McGuigan's. How great is it to see people flocking to your establishments?
Oh, it was pretty exciting yesterday. I mean, we had, a dozen reservations at 10 o'clock, and we had to stop people coming in at 10 because they just wouldn't have gotten fed. It was pretty exciting. It was fun. There was a lot of people and a lot of the kids. It's just great to see the look on everybody's face and the excitement and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Again, we're speaking with Richard Rosen. He, of course, is the great sponsor of Monday Night Talk, one of a few who are kind enough to realize the value in a program like this and comes on from time to time to talk about a couple of the greatest loves, big business ventures that... You know, we're celebrating 10 years for McGuigan's, for crying out loud. Who knew?
Yeah, that was December 10th, 10 years. I always tell people, you know, we opened in the worst economy of our life, and I don't think people expected me to last 10 minutes, never mind 10 years. And, you know, it did take a while, but, you know, it's become a part of the fabric of Whitman.
Yeah, and the thing is, would you... When you look at the next 10 years, I mean, what are some of the things do you set goals like that for your businesses, or is it a matter of you take it as it comes?
No, we simply take it as it comes. Yeah,
goals. So let me ask you this: here we are coming into a new year right around the corner. Again, we were just already teasing you know, your fantastic event roaring into 2020. What, any big plans for 2020 for either one of your establishments, whether it's McGuigan's or the patio?
Actually, there is. I shouldn't say we don't have goals. I have a few plans. I cannot announce them right now.
I hate when you do that.
But we do have some things coming up. We've got something pretty big coming up that won't be until probably in the middle of the summer. It's something that we just started to formulate now. I can't disclose what it is at the moment.
Okay.
But there'll be some things happening in 2020.
Now, know that the holiday season is upon us, depending on what you celebrate. I'm going to throw this out there, Richard, with your permission, and that is that if you have that special someone that it, you know, is hard to get a gift for, I'm thinking that maybe a gift card to either the patio or McGuigan's would be the perfect stocking stuffer or perfect way to say I appreciate you during the holiday season. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a really, really good idea, and you know they're valid at both places, so you just need to buy one and you can use it at either place.
See, it's that simple. Again, it's that time of year. And, I mean, how many times do you find yourself getting gift cards and going, hey, this is not a bad idea. I've been wanting to go there and check out this establishment. Or maybe it's to your favorite store.
Yeah, it makes life so easy. Gift cards are a wonderful thing.
Are you ready for the holidays?
No. But let's go back to the gift cards for 1 second.
Please
if you
do.
Buy $50... In gift cards, you get for every 50, you get a free $5 gift card.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
So I know. Yeah, no, I'm not ready for Christmas, but I will be soon.
So the final thing I will ask you to kind of wrap up our conversation here, we've been speaking with Richard Rosen, he and his family, owners of McGuigan's Pub, the patio, which is right next door. What are you thankful for this holiday season? If there was a thing or a set of things, what do you feel thankful for?
Well, first and foremost, your health. I mean, if you don't have your health, you really don't have anything.
Right.
So I'm thankful for my health. You know, I see so much. I see so many people of ill health. So I'm thankful for my health. I'm also thankful for my family, and also the support. Support from, you know, the community that we're given all the time, whether it be the restaurant or the real estate business or whatever it is. You know, there's a lot to be thankful for.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you for being not only a great sponsor of this radio program, but also taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule to chat with us and share the latest updates that are going on at your two establishments. And, I mean, goodness, we've never even had you on. Have we ever had you do anything for real estate? Because that's another thing that you are well versed in, and that you are successful at.
I've been doing it a long time. We've never really talked about real estate. Every now and then, we mention my real estate business, but no, we've never had an in-depth discussion about real estate or real estate trends or anything to do with real estate, which really is my main business.
Might have to have you and John Buckley in one of these times. What do you think?
I've appeared on John Buckley's show many times.
I know you have.
On his cable TV show. I've appeared on his show many times as a guest. I'd love to do it sometime.
Yo, I forgot to mention also that you are kind of a TV star, an award-winning TV star at that.
Yeah, let's not forget award-winning. And thank you. Thanks to you. I mean, you are the producer of my award-winning TV show.
So,
isn't it two awards that we've won?
We've won a couple, yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, and I'm looking to put more on your mantle, so it's in the works.
Yes. Should you tell people what our TV show is?
Yeah, it's called The Buzz Around Bees with the one and only Richard Rosen, local beekeeper who has quite the network of people that he's able to tap into and discuss about being able to, you know, to maintain and help a beehive thrive, from the addition of the packages into the hive, the introduction, to caring for them, making sure that other predators are not going to be invading the hive, or making sure that there's enough pollinators around for them to survive throughout the summer. Anyways,
one of my favorite episodes, and I know I've got to go, was was the morning that you and I filmed the 9 million bees.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody believes the fact that you and I were in a building with 9 million bees. And it was that was a pretty good episode. I liked that one a lot.
Yep.
You could literally feel the heat go up in the building, and the buzzing was amazing. So
what Richard is talking about is he's in the spring. So he's a member of the Plymouth County Beekeepers Association. And down in Plimpton, Richard and I traveled down to where they actually, people can come and pick up their packages. And each package contains 10,000 bees. These come up from the southern part of the state, from apiaries down
country.
There, the lower part of the country. And come, it was Georgia? Is it Atlanta or somewhere in that area?
South Carolina or something.
South Carolina, somewhere in that region. And they, from an apiary down there, they come up, and like Richard said, we actually walked into a barn, and there are all these packages. I actually videotaped it, and I think it's actually, is it season two? Oh, it might be season two, episode one.
Episode one.
It was,
yeah.
We kind of do like a scan. You could just hear, and what Richard's not telling you, not only did the heat rise a little bit, but you can hear this hum.
It was pretty funny.
9 million angry bees. I shouldn't say that. Just 9 million bees.
No,
just kind of just
bees
doing
aren't
it.
Angry.
They aren't angry.
No, they're not angry. You can't give those bees a bad rap. They're honeybees.
That's
they're
right.
They're very docile. They're happy. They're all, you know, they're just happy bees. Just
Richard. I will tell you, though, that I have, during our taping, I have encountered a few bees that I have upset. So that's not 100% true. I have the stings to prove it. But it's a fun, it's something that's been fun to do, and I'm looking forward to season three. So we'll wrap up on that note.
Wonderful. Thanks, Kevin. And if I do not speak to you, and I'd like to just take this opportunity to wish everybody a great Christmas and a great New Year.
There he is, Mr. Richard Rosen, joining us here on Monday Night Talk. All right, well, that wraps it up for hour number one. We're going to step aside when we come back. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
WATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Hindsight is 20/20, but you can't go back and spend your health benefits once they expire. Don't let your flexible savings or health savings account go to waste. I'm Jeff Volpe, president of King Optical in Braintree. Come into King Optical and use your benefits on prescription glasses, prescription sunglasses, and contact lenses. Look great and get the most out of your account before your benefits expire. Visit us at King Optical, 20 School Street, West in Braintree. We're online at kingoptical.net.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Just a little tease as to later on this hour, we'll speak with Bob Parkus. Bob, who does our regular editorials. He'll be joining me. I always enjoy his editorials, and you'll get a chance to see why if you do not listen during the South Shore's morning news, when he'll pop in from time to time. Also, the Potentate of Pigskin from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, Kerry J. Byrne. We'll talk a little Spygate 2.0, and do the Patriots have enough gusto to make it to another Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowls. But first, as we've been privileged to speak with folks who are running for office on a regular basis, we have a gentleman who is here to tell you why you should pick him when the primaries, which I believe the information was just released last week for the state Senate seat. I believe that's the Plymouth Barnstable seat. Is it the first? I think it's the first Plymouth Barnstable.
It's the Plymouth and Barnstable District.
Plymouth Barnstable District. That voice you just heard is Thomas Mokley. He is a candidate for that seat. He is a Democrat and he's joining us. Mr. Mokley, thank you for joining me here on Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, thanks for having me.
If you will, for folks who don't know you, this is your opportunity to speak to the folks who are in the northern part of the district. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you will.
Well, my name's Thomas Mokley. I was born in Falmouth, a community that's known for its sense of volunteerism to parents who made it a habit in their own lives. And I was active in town politics growing up. I was an Eagle Scout. I was the student representative to the school committee. I went to Georgetown University, where I studied science, technology, and international affairs, and also worked in the office of Congressman Jim McGovern. Since coming home to Massachusetts, I've been putting myself through the evening program at Suffolk Law School while working full-time for the Suffolk District Attorney up in Boston. In Massachusetts, where politicians can typically measure their terms in decades, this kind of opportunity only comes up once in a very long time. So I wanted to jump in with both feet. I'm going to give it my all. And I'm running because the issues that are most important to our community, things that have become tragically personal to so many of us, things like climate change, the opioid epidemic, and economic opportunity are also the things that are disproportionately affecting young people. So I think it's my time, that it's time for my generation to stand up and fight for the future that we want, and this is how we're going to do it.
Now, is politics something that is in your bloodline?
It is. I think what you might be referring to is my great uncle, Joe Mokley, who was a congressman from South Boston mm-hmm. for 30 years. And before that, he was actually elected to the state legislature at the same age I am, 25. And when he was first elected, his mentor, Tip O'Neill, gave him a lot of advice. And Joe said that he would like to be the same kind of congressman that Tip was. And that is someone who never forgets where they come from. That's someone who knows the names of all their colleagues, and that's someone who's not afraid to give up credit to get something done. That's the kind of legislator that I'm going to be.
Is that something that's lacking in today's legislature, depending on the level? I mean, maybe not so much on the state legislature or even on the municipal level, but when we talk Congress, when we
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about how much the debate in Congress has changed, even just over the past few years. But if you go back in time, you think about since C-SPAN cameras got in there, there's no debate happening on the floors there. There is theater happening on the floor of the House and the Senate and Congress right now, because people are looking for their sound bites. They're looking for their clips that they can send home and say, look, I'm really giving the Democrats or I'm really giving the Republicans what for. But I think a bigger issue is that members of Congress don't know each other, and that's because they're going home back to their district every year, every weekend, and just trying to raise money and campaign for re-election constantly. And that's because it's so expensive to run for office. Believe me, I now know how difficult it is. But if those members of Congress, as they used to do, spent more time in D.C., got to know their colleagues' spouses and kids, then I'll tell you, when you know someone's family, it's a lot harder to fight with them on a particular issue. It's going to be a lot easier to get together and say, all right, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this particular issue? If you have that kind of personal connection.
What was the decision like deciding that you wanted to run for office, to run for this particular office? What resonated with you when you knew that the current, the departing state senator, Vinny DeMaceder, decided that he was accepting another job with Bridgewater State University? What was it?
I'm just ready to step in off the sidelines. I've been working in public service essentially since I was able to. But I've been working in enabling roles, enabling some wonderful people to do some amazing work. I'm ready to step into a role where I'm making those decisions and where I'm able to make a difference for my home community. And I was lucky enough that I'm part of this beautiful district with a lot of really engaged citizens, and they were encouraging me to take a step up and be a part of this. It was certainly a whirlwind decision, because I think within a week of Senator DiMaceto announcing his resignation, three candidates had announced. But within 24 hour span of my announcing, we had a website and Facebook page up, and that's thomasmokley.com, in case anybody wants to learn more or reach out to me. I'm happy to meet with anybody and everyone, because that's how this campaign's going to win.
Have you had a chance to engage with that district's constituents, and what are they telling you? What are they saying? That, listen, if you're going to get my vote, this right. is what worries me, and this is what I want you to keep an eye on and work on.
I certainly have, even before we knew the election date, which, by the way, the Democratic and Republican primaries, I'm running in the Democratic primary, and that's going to be on March 3rd. And then the general election is going to be on March 31st. But even before we knew that information last week, I've been out there in the district knocking on doors, organizing fundraisers and meet and greets, showing up at community events, just being available. And when I'm talking to those people, I'm hearing that those issues that I talked about, things like climate change, things like the opioid epidemic, where it's rare now that we talk to someone who hasn't had a personal loss from something like that. Those are the things that seem commonsensical that we should have been addressing years ago, yet we haven't done enough about it. Those are the issues that I've been hearing about most.
So I would ask you, what would be some of the things that need to be done? I know that there has been work and strides that have been made over the past several years to be able to have facilities for someone who needs treatment. Mm-hmm. Being able to put life-saving instruments like Narcan into the hands of our public safety officers, whether it's the police, whether it's the fire. What do you think, what additionally needs to be done? Is it just a matter of more education? Is it further treatment? Is it a matter of going after Big Pharma and having them being a part of this and paying for this?
It's all of the above. And that's the kind of approach that we need, is an all of the above approach, because people are dying all the time, and we haven't taken enough action because we're scared of the repercussions. Mm-hmm. We need to prioritize saving lives over making the most politically prudent decisions. And that's going to be achieved by doing all the things that you mentioned, by destigmatizing addiction, which is a mental health issue and not a moral failing, and making sure that the funding and resources are available to both state and private entities that are helping people with these treatments, and an educational program, like you said, to make sure people are aware of the resources that are available to them, are aware of the legal exemptions that are made to them, so then people can get the treatment that they need, and people who have loved ones who are going through these things are able to help them access those resources.
You could say climate change, and there's so many different things that we have to worry about as our climate continues to change. What are some of the things that you feel that the legislature needs to do to be prepared for the continuing changes that we are seeing?
We need to be focused on prevention, not just response. And Senator Sear has done an amazing job, in particular with coming up with a plan for climate resiliency and making sure that the government spends more money on addressing the impacts of climate change. I think right now the state government only spends about 0.5% on environmental issues, and that needs to increase dramatically. And I don't know if you've heard about this idea called the Green New Deal. That comes up on a federal level, but as it stands right now, it's sort of just an idea, and it's a great idea. But it's currently in Congress as a resolution. And I think that's because it's designed to probably get more conservative or Republican members to vote against it, so then they have a better chance in 2020 running on an environmental platform. And I wish them the best in that. But we need to be implementing these ideas now. And if the federal government's not going to do it, then let's do it on a state level. Essentially, combining the issues of economic inequality and climate change into one project, where it also allows private entities to get in and make some money for themselves too. there's a lot of projects that can be done across the Cape, across the South Shore, where if state money was made available for loans for businesses or for bonds for municipalities, then a lot of people could be earning jobs from this. A lot of companies could be making money off of this. And most importantly, we would have that infrastructure that we need going forward with all the impacts of climate change. I mean, it's not just sea level rise. That's one issue, but it's more severe and unpredictable weather patterns and all sorts of other issues that are impacting not just the coastline, but the entire country.
Let me ask you if I could change directions quickly here. I think some of the other issues that I've heard from candidates is in the way of education, in the way of transportation, mm-hmm. and also water. Water seen as something that's used for economic development, especially here down on the South Shore of the South Coast. Mm-hmm. If you were to pick one of those topics, which one of those do you see as in your wheelhouse that you want to see, you'd like to help implement change, right, or at least updates?
Those are all incredibly important issues. I mean, education is the most important way for people to improve their own socioeconomic situations. But transportation has a particular opportunity for growth in our area. If you think about the project that just has been announced by the Army Corps of Engineers to replace the bridges going over the Cape Cod Canal, they're going to start with the Sagamore Bridge, and then they're going to do the Bourne Bridge, building them side by side, so then the old bridges don't have to be closed during the construction until the new ones are ready. Obviously, that's controlled by the federal government through the Army Corps of Engineers, but there's a lot that the local community and that the state government, acting through their state senator, can do to impact those plans. And I think it's an incredible opportunity. I mean, you talk about those bridges were originally built during the New Deal. Mm-hmm. Now, coming during a time when we're calling for a Green New Deal, we could include things, not just bike lanes and not just pedestrian areas, but I think we ought to explore at least the possibility of putting more rail lines down there. Because rail and public transportation in particular increases not just the traffic or the lessens the traffic going over the bridges, but it also makes it much easier for the businesses that are on either side of the bridge and the people who are working on opposite sides of the bridge to get to work. Workforce is a major issue that I've heard from business leaders around, especially the Cape area, but some in Plymouth as well, where people aren't able to afford to live in this particular area, and therefore those businesses aren't able to find the help that they need. Having something like a train going over the bridge more regularly, because the Cape Flyer only runs during the summer, would be a huge boon to those businesses, because they would actually be able to have the people to work for them there. And especially for young people and people who are going to school, that would just enable so much more mobility, which means opportunity.
Okay, we're speaking with Mr. Thomas Moakley. He is a candidate for the Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat, and he is my guest here as we kick off the second hour of Monday Night Talk. We just have a few more minutes left here with you. Is there something or topic that we haven't touched upon, or an item that we haven't discussed that you want to at least take a moment to kind of address?
Well, I'm impressed, actually, that we've seemed to have covered so much in such a short period of time, but I'm so excited about the future. I mean, I want to be part of this next generation of leaders that's willing to try new things, admit mistakes when are wrong openly, and rely more on action over image. I mean, today is the best day to have ever been born in the United States, and tomorrow will be even better. And that's because the strides that we're making in industries across the board, technology, medicine, education, are solving problems every day. We'll continue to solve problems every day. My job as state senator will be to help government catch up and to enable those other industries to continue doing the work that they're doing. I'm very excited to be part of this race.
So I'll ask you this as we get ready to wrap up with you, Mr. Moakley. And that is if folks want to find out more, you admitted earlier in the conversation that once you decided, you've already, folks can find ways to contact you. How can they do that?
That's right. I mean, campaigns are evolving in every successive cycle. So we're taking full advantage of all the digital tools that are available to us. But anyways, people can find us on Facebook, Thomas Moakley for State Senate, or at our website, thomasmoakley.com. That's M-O-A-K-L-E-Y. And I'm also on Instagram and pretty much everything else that's out there.
Last question I'll ask you is, if you could think of something that you are thankful for this holiday season, this Christmas season, as we're getting ready to close out 2019, what would you say you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family. I will always be thankful for my family, which is the most important thing to me. My father passed away this past year after a long and courageous battle with glioblastoma, which is a form of brain cancer. He was able to persist by moving from one experimental treatment to another, despite sheer force of will and positivity. I'm lucky to have had him in my family, and I'm lucky to have the family that I also still have moving forward, supporting me in this difficult effort.
I want to thank you so much for being my guest, coming in studio here and getting to meet you firsthand. It's been great with the candidates coming in, and what's so hard for me is seeing any of you not be successful, because I think there's a great field of candidates.
Absolutely.
And the Plymouth Barnstable district is very fortunate that so many of you have stepped up and says, I want to be the next leader.
Absolutely. And I think one of the benefits of running a campaign at this particular level is that we can all stay positive, because we're running our own campaigns. We're trying to reach voters and tell them about ourselves and what's important to us. And there's no need for the negativity that we see a lot of times on the national level.
He is Thomas Moakley, candidate for the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat. Thank you so much, sir, for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You got it. All right. We are going to step aside. We're going to make room as the great Bob Parkus will be joining me in just a moment here on Monday Night Talk. You are listening to Monday Night Talk only on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Jim from Your CBD Store of Hanover. I've been a small business owner on the South Shore for 20 years. The results I've found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open Your CBD Store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD Store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by Your CBD Store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Come visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Go ahead, indulge yourself. Every Wednesday night, tune in to Talk with Francesca and join me for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration. So sit back and relax, or be stimulated, or both. Because being connected feels good. It's contagious, and I personally want to spread it around.
Don't miss Talk with Francesca, Wednesday nights at 9 on 95.9 WATD. Now download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
So what we try to do with this program, we give you different voices, different folks, because nobody wants to hear what I have to think. They want to hear the voices of the community.
They want to hear what I have to think. That's what they want to hear. Come on, Kevin.
Because he's trying to jump the gun. But that, of course, is a gentleman who does probably one of the finest, I think he does, one of the finest editorials that we do here on 95.9 WATD. It's an art form. Anybody can get on this microphone right here, not that one over there, but this one right here, and just complain and moan and say that they are not happy with the current situation, whether it's political, in their community, the world in general. But I have to say, over the years, I've become a very big fan of Bob Parkes. Because Bob, when he does his segments from time to time, and I'm not talking about the ones that he does on Saturday morning, which are also exceptional, I might add. But when he finds a niche, he finds an issue. I got to say, honestly enough, last week he did one. I think it was last Friday morning, which was interesting. It was about the great American sport of football on the local level and sportsmanship. I thought it was fantastic. I've listened to many of them. This isn't his first time appearing on our radio program.
Oh, boy. It could be the last, though.
No.
Working everybody up. I got to say something brilliant now. Are you kidding me?
So I thought what I would give you an opportunity to do, and I think I made a mistake. Instead of doing it today, I should have done it 2 days before Christmas Eve. Because do you know what December 23rd is?
I do not.
It is actually a Seinfeld holiday called Festivus for the Rest of Us. But you get a chance, you get to air your grievances. So this might be a pre-Festivus conversation that we have. But then it's followed up with feats of strength. But we'll just go with airing of grievances. I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of take a general look at some of the things that have, you know, caught your eye during the year. Maybe your favorite. A couple of your favorites, and share them with my audience.
My favorite disaster? You know, this is Christmas time and peace on earth, right? Well, throw a dart at the map, and there is no peace, no matter where that lands. And, heck, the war in Afghanistan has been going on for 2 decades now. There were kids who were joining the military who weren't even born when that war started. And people have even forgotten why we went there.
Right.
The reason we went into Afghanistan was because we felt that Osama bin Laden was in Afghanistan, and we called him up and we said, hey, send him over to us. We want him. And the Taliban said, nothing doing. You want him? Come get him. Well, we got him. But we're still there. I mean, what's going on? People don't understand. And another thing, Afghanistan is actually touched by China. They're bordering each other, and the Chinese have a trade agreement for natural resources, mining and oil, petroleum, gas, all of that with Afghanistan. And we here in America are paying for that economic gain to China with the blood of our soldiers.
Yep.
And that ain't all. There's more. I got to talk about something that President Trump said just recently. I mean, we all know, we're regular people, we all know that we have gone to war in the Mideast for oil. I mean, let's face it, we all know that. And now, President Trump seems compelled to put this motivation on the record. So I'm going to quote President Trump. Here's what he says. We've secured the oil. Trump goes on and says, I always said, if you're going in, keep the oil. He continues by saying, and now we have a lot of oil, the president elaborates. In the old days, when you had a war, to the victor belongs the spoils. You go in, you win the war, you take it. It's yours. End of quote. Well, President Trump does seem a bit confused because we do not have the oil. ExxonMobil, etc., they have the oil. not us. What we have are over 7,000 American soldiers dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, over 7,000 dead for oil. Now, presidential supporter Senator Lindsey Graham is unfazed by this. Here's what he says. The oil can go into American coffers. No mention of American coffins.
Mm.
Now, I got a better idea for the spoils of war, the oil money. I really do. $10 million to the families of each soldier who died to, I quote, secure the oil. $10 million per family. The math is compelling. $10 million times 7,000 dead Americans, that's $70 billion. Well, that sounds like a lot. It's not. The wars cost over $2 trillion. That's a lot. And what did the wars cost Exxon Mobil, etc.? Zero. Zip. They paid nothing. We paid for the war. Big Oil profits from the war. American families pay with their lives and their taxes, and I think the $10 million per family sounds quite doable. And who should pay? Well, it's obvious. The oil companies should pay the $70 billion. The big oil companies would hardly feel a payout of $70 billion, and that is a fact. It could be done over a period of, say, 18 years. That's about how long we've been fighting over there. Now, do you think any of the Democratic or Republican candidates for office are going to stump for this proposal to give $10 million, indemnify the families of those killed in action from the coffers of private companies, Exxon Mobil, etc.? That is too radical a notion, right? That's unpatriotic. It's sinister. But to the victor belongs the oil? That's not sinister. That's patriotic.
Again, we're speaking with Mr. Bob Parkus. He is our guest at WATD's Bob Parkus. So I'm gonna ask if there's any other additional funding that should be given out. That's a fantastic, it's a novel idea. What about the soldiers who lost a limb or who are forever changed physically because of fighting in this war for oil?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. I remember the 9/11, the World Trade Centers. Well, there was this huge influx of money. Everyone was outraged by what happened, and everybody wanted to help.
Donated.
And they got a hold of a guy who sat down and figured out how much money each poor victim should receive based on that victim's status. Honest to gosh, in other words, a busboy in the restaurant doesn't get as much as the president of a corporation. And everyone seemed to go along with that. And you can make a legal case that the busboy, in the course of his life, is only going to make so much, and his family is only going to suffer, you know, perhaps, so presumably inordinately less than the family of the president of a corporation who gets more money. You can, you know, argue that one back and forth, but the fact is, the broad statistic is that for every soldier killed, there are 10 wounded. And the wounded deserve as much as the dead. After all, you've got handicaps, you've got wheelchairs, medical expenses, grief, suffering.
PTSD.
Oh, it's horrible.
Sure.
You know, we don't realize this. And there is a way to figure it out. And knowing this, the United States, after World War I, set up VA hospitals. Now, here's my gripe about VA hospitals. Separate is not equal. So therefore, VA hospitals must be better than regular hospitals, right? What would you say?
I would think so, yeah.
But they're not.
But they're not.
They're crummier because separate is not equal and it's not right, and the VA system ought to be abolished, and a veteran should be able to go to any hospital where there's accountability. I've had friends who've gone to the VA, and they have said, my gosh, they give you crummy service, they make you wait for 6 months, and there's no one you can complain to. Well, in a private hospital setting, that doesn't happen. There are ways to complain. You can cause trouble. You can raise a stink. I could tell you stories. I mean, I've got just one. This is just to make the point. A guy is in bed in a veterans hospital, and he has a grievous thigh wound, and it's suppurating, it's infected, it's not getting better, and the doctor comes in and says, well, it's not getting better, we're going to have to remove it. But this particular patient had built up a friendship with an orderly in the hospital, and he says to the orderly, my God, they're going to take my leg off. And the orderly says, well, yes, because you don't have a pump. He says, what do you mean a pump? He says, well, in a case like yours, they have a little electric motor attached to a pump, and there's a little hose that goes into the wound, and it sucks out all the bad material. He says, well, how come I don't have one of those? He says, because there's six of them downstairs, and each one is broken. There are six, and each one is broken? Yeah. Can I see them? Yeah, we can go down there. So down they go. And, yep, sure enough, there's six suction pumps, each one broken in a different way. They put a working pump together. They stick the hose in there, they go back up, and they don't remove the guy's leg. Now, would that happen in a private hospital?
It would not.
Absolutely not.
Well, and if you look at today, there's a little bit more of a division. You have the nonprofit hospitals here in Massachusetts, thanks to when Martha Coakley was the attorney general. We have a plethora of for-profit hospitals that are operating in and around the Commonwealth, and that seems to be the way to go today. So that's
for-profit hospital, it reminds me of for-profit prisons. But there's a problem. There could be a good side on the for-profit hospital in that they have to treat their customers well, right? That's the whole idea.
You would think so, but I'm gonna throw something out, and we got a few minutes left here, and I want you to be able to have an opportunity to share another editorial, another idea for an editorial. But Bob, I'm sure you go to the doctor on a regular basis.
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't used to, but now I got to.
Well, no, so let me ask you this, though. Can you remember a time, like when you go in for your annual physical, that would be the time for you to kind of give a list of little things. Doc, I'm having this issue and that issue. What do you think? And you're charged one fee to go in to see the doctor. Well, that's changed, I believe. I believe that the theory is you go in, they kick the tires, make sure you still got a pulse, and send you on your way. Now, if you want to say anything, now this is my experience over the past couple of years, because I found it eye-opening that I get charged for a visit. Normally, if you have a healthcare plan, if you go in for a maintenance, you go in for a physical, you don't get charged. I went in, and the doctor noticed something, goes, oh, you looks like you're a little bit of a, you know, get this color, you have an issue with your skin here. I go, yeah, it's been kind of bothering me. I'll write you up a prescription. I get charged a doctor's a fee for a doctor's visit because it was more than just kicking the tires and checking for a pulse.
Well, you bring up the point, as I see it, that a doctor is a profit-making business.
Mm.
That's what a doctor is. A doctor isn't a person anymore. A doctor is a business, and the reason for a business is to make money. Now, you take a look at people under a doctor's care, is the euphemism, and they're going to have a pill tray. Now, when I grew up as a kid, I never knew anything about a pill tray. I didn't know anybody who had a pill tray. Why is everybody taking all these pills? My basic rule on going to see the doctor is it is to the doctor's benefit to find something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go. I do not go. And the other thing I have noticed is, I'm going to tell you the story. It's a true story. And it's
not going to cut into any other stories you're going to tell me.
No, this will be the one that points it out.
Okay.
This is a personal friend of mine.
Okay.
And this person was told, you have cancer of the spine, and the great danger here is that you're out gardening and you lift up something that's heavy and you wield the spade or a pickaxe and your back then can't take the strain, and it breaks, and now you're paralyzed, you can't move. So therefore, what we're going to do is perform a surgery, and we're going to stiffen your backbone. And she said, okay. So she goes in for the surgery, and they put some rods in her back, and she comes home and never gets out of bed, and that's where she died.
Oh, man.
So I understand that's 20/20 hindsight, but I know other people. I'm not going to go into it. Once you place yourself in the care of people whose job it is to make money on you, then please don't fault them if they go ahead and do. So I am very, very leery. I will never, ever have an extraordinary procedure. I will not.
Okay, we're speaking with the one and only Bob Parkus, who does many great things around the radio station. You're going to be thrilled that there's going to be two more stations coming online in the new year. Do you have any thing to do with either of those two?
No, I do not.
Are you strictly sticking to the...
I'm way too old for that. Station owner Ed Perry is a remarkable guy, and he is older than I, and he's a very funny guy, and he's motivated. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how a guy who's almost 80 can go out there and buy two new radio stations and then put them together and make them work. I wouldn't do it. I'm looking down the road. How long will it take to really make them work? Well, WATD really works now. And WATD was started back in 1978, and it took a real long time for everybody to catch on to how interesting ATD can be. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's like planting an oak tree. Here's the acorn, right? Well, Ed just planted a couple of acorns, and it's going to take a while. So I would never have done that. He did it. More power to him. It's going to work out in the end, but neither he nor I are going to be here to get hit on the head by a squirrel tossing an acorn at us, you know?
Right.
By the way, I forgot what I was going to say. I got it off on Ed Perry. What did you want to know?
It's okay. We're about to wrap up now.
We're wrapping up? Oh, you want to know?
I had asked you if you were going to have anything to do with the two new radio stations. You kind of answered it.
There's not enough time, really.
If you were to be, say, one thing that you are, that you've been thankful for, at least this year, to close out our segment, is there something that you'd say that you have been thankful for?
Thankful for? Well, you know, obviously, I'm going to say what everybody says. I'm thankful for my family, and I'm not kidding. And that's why everybody says it, because it really is the most important thing. I can't think of anything more important than that. I don't happen to be loaded, right? If I had a lot of money, I would say the same thing. I will say, I hope we get through this Trump thing, because he is a dangerous man. He's a child with nuclear weapons, and I am very scared about that. I really am. And I'd like to close on that I am very scared that the President of the United States is Donald Trump, and he has nukes.
Here he is, Mr. Bob Parkes. Bob, thank you so much for being my guest here today.
You spoiled my day. You brought up Trump. Oh, I brought him up. I spoiled my own day.
We are going to step aside. More Monday Night Talk in just a couple of moments here on 95.9 WAT.
Christmas Eve, 1999. Clement Moore was stirring whipped cream into the eggnog when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. He sprang to the deck to see what was the matter. When what to his wondering eyes did appear, thrust from the windshield of his van like a spear, was the snow-crusted runner of an overloaded sleigh. His windshield was shattered on Christmas Eve day. Whatever on earth could the poor man do? Not a creature was stirring. Who would he sue? And then, up on the rooftop, a cry could be heard.
Ho, ho, ho! Don't you worry. The windshield's insured. I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or rooftop, and we replace your windshield. My boys do a good job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Happy Christmas to all.
Hindsight is 20/20, but you can't go back and spend your health benefits once they expire. Don't let your flexible savings or health savings account go to waste. I'm Jeff Volpe, president of King Optical in Braintree. Commit to King Optical and use your benefits on prescription glasses, prescription sunglasses, and contact lenses. Look great and get the most out of your account before your benefits expire. Visit us at King Optical, 20 School Street, West in Braintree. We're online at kingoptical.net.
Over-medicating chronic health issues can be an issue of its own. The time has come for efficient, plant-based remedies formulated specifically for you. Join the millions of other Americans who have found relief thanks to CBD oil. Your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover has award-winning CBD-based products targeted for use in pain management, anxiety, depression, nausea, insomnia, and seizures. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. However, there's a lot of misinformation about CBD. Before you make a decision, you should learn all the facts. There is absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. Find a better way to treat your chronic conditions. Visit a trusted resource with award-winning products. Your CBD store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD store of Hanover. Help without the high.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Okay, gang, we have arrived at the final segment of the evening. And I want to say that they're all fantastic segments, because they are. But I'm looking forward to this one, especially for two reasons. I wanted to, as we're joined by Kerry J. Byrne. Kerry has been on this radio program in different capacities, whether he's an expert in the food and entertainment area, being the potentate of pigskin, all his knowledge when it comes to football and what's going on. But he's also, you know what, he's a community guy. And Kerry, I wanted to say to you first and foremost, last week around this time, I had Casey Sherman in studio as we had changed our content from talking about one area of expertise that Casey had to the passing of Pete Frates. We know Pete Frates is being, you know, his heroic efforts to help raise awareness and $250 million to help research or find a cure for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And I know that you're a Boston College guy, and you wrote a beautiful piece over the weekend. You posted, and I wanted to commend you because I thought it hit the mark, knowing that you're also a Boston College guy.
Yeah, well, Kevin, first of all, it's always a pleasure to be on with the great Kevin Tarchi, the hottest working man in radio. You do a great job. You're
Thank
an
you.
Asset to the industry and your communities, and I always appreciate being on with you, Kevin. I didn't know Pete Frates. I knew Casey Sherman is a friend from the industry, his co-author. Dave Wedge, who's yep. a friend of ours, is also a friend from the industry. And I actually met Dave Wedge when we were freshmen at Boston College back in 1988. So I've known these guys a long time, and they did a wonderful job chronicling, you know, the Ice Bucket Challenge in their yep. book about Pete Frates and this phenomenal, you know, internationally viral fundraiser that Pete Frates created. And honestly, the post I did, I was straight from the heart. I wish I'd written it for somebody other than just on social media, but you know, it inspired my, you know, deep-seated pride in Boston College. It's a great institution, and I know it's easy to make fun of BC when they go to some, you know, random college bowl game and the haters jump on them this year. They're going to the Birmingham Bowl, but it's an exceptional institution that produces exceptional people. And I thought of, you know, my friends who have all been very successful, went to Boston College. I thought of Wells Crowther, the man in the red bandana who died at the World Trade Center, saving so many people. Who's, you know, they have a red bandana game in his honor at Boston College football team does. And then you look at someone like Pete Frates, and like, I wish I was as good a man as these people who did exceptional things to make the world a better place. And I can't imagine the Frates family suffering this most horrific disease that seems to strike the strongest and healthiest among us, right? Starting with, you know, obviously Lou Gehrig. It's known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The Iron Horse himself was crippled to death by this disease. And if it can strike a Lou Gehrig, if it can strike a Pete Frates, it can strike anyone. But, you know, it's just what that family did is phenomenal. I don't know the family, but, you know, I knew the authors. I'm obviously, you know, passionate about the institution that we both attended. And it just makes me feel good for the Boston College community that we create families and men. Ever to excel is the motto of Boston College, and nobody personified that better than the Frates family.
Well said. Definitely well said. Well, the main reason having you on is we have Patriot Nation. Again, there is red flags going up and questions being raised of what many would perceive here in the region as probably the greatest coach to ever have walked the sidelines in the National Football League, with the word that there were video cameras. I guess the cameras are there videotaping, supposedly videotaping a production But now there's some ongoing. Give me your thoughts in regards to yet another scandal that has reared its ugly head, and it has the New England Patriots on the headlines, front pages again in regards to cheating.
Yeah, well, so, the background is the Patriots have a production company, which I've worked with, and I've actually produced radio for the Patriots with Cold Hard Football Fast and Football Nation and, some of the various football products we have. And we've worked with the production companies over there. But it's rare that an NFL team would have their own production company, but the Patriots do. Like, the preseason games are done by Kraft Productions, right? Those aren't owned by the networks or anything. So in the process of, filming some content for one of their segments, apparently they were filming the Cincinnati Bengals sidelines, which came to light, in the past week or so. In 99.9% of the circumstances, it would be a non-story. No one would care. If it was another team, nobody would care. But being the Patriots, given their legacy of greatness, but also their legacy of skirting the law, if you will, it's a major national story. I think there's no there in this story. It defies logic to think that the Patriots would be out there weeks ahead of time filming the lowly, nearly winless Cincinnati Bengals sidelines to gain an edge on a team they should beat pretty handily. So I do think there's nothing there, but I do think it looks bad, and it looks bad because it's the Patriots. It looks bad because it's Bill Belichick. It looks bad because of Spygate in 2007 and Deflategate and whatever year that was now, 2015. It just looks bad. It just looks bad. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be forgotten, but there's no, the Patriots are the most hated team in sports, Kevin. They are. 20 years of unprecedented success will do that. And it's just a bad look for the team, and I don't know how they certainly don't avoid the PR disaster, that's for sure.
Do you feel that this team is it's this fantastic run that you just described is coming to a close? The rumors are abound that now Tom Brady has stepped down as being the face of the Best Buddies program that he has always been at the center of, loved doing. He's kind of handed it off to his teammate, to Julian Edelman, I believe.
Yep.
He's in the final year of his contract. He doesn't have anything that's going to renew. And there's even talk radio is a buzz over the fact that, he might end up moving on.
And he may be. And, listen, the stupidest story, I've done a lot of work with our sports radio friends here in Boston for years, but the current mindset of just nonstop, it's over, the run is over, Tom Brady's gone. From a fan perspective, and I'm not a Patriots fan, Kevin, I'm a football fan.
Yep.
I love football. I just happen to live in Boston at a time when the Patriots were the most dominant team in the history of football. But I'm a football fan, and if I'm a football fan, I'm soaking every moment of joy out of this run. If this is Tom Brady's last year, enjoy it, celebrate it, love it, appreciate every snap, every throw, every touchdown, every win. They still have a very high likelihood of going to the Super Bowl. This is still a great team, and the negativity, to quote a former basketball coach here in Boston, the negativity in this town sucks. It's why they're sapping the joy out of what should be a great season. If it's Tom Brady's last year, so be it. The stupidest headline in the world is the end is coming for Tom Brady. No kidding. The end's coming for you, Kevin. The end's coming for me. The end's coming for all of us, right? In one way or another. So I don't want to, this is a non-story. It's got to end. When it ends, it ends. But, the rush, I just don't get it. As a football fan, I don't get the desire to sap all the joy out of what could be the last great run by the greatest warrior and the greatest quarterback in the history of football. Do you remember the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
I do.
I think it's the most underrated comedy of all time. And there's a scene in it with, what's her name, Sally Kellerman, the original Hot Lips Houlihan, who was a professor in the movie. And he has a quiz to stay in college, Rodney Dangerfield. And the gist of it is he's a middle-aged businessman who goes back to school with his son. So, and he quotes Dylan Thomas, the great poet, "Do not go gentle into that good night." And it's Rodney Dangerfield quoting this great poem about rage against the dying of the light. It's about getting old and fighting and not giving up and not accepting your age and the inevitability of getting old and dying, whatever the case may be. And honestly, when I think of the season, I think of Dylan Thomas in that poem. Tom Brady is not going to go gentle into that good night. He's going to rage. He's going to rage against the falling of the light. I mean, against the dying of the light. That's what he is. That's who he is. He's pulled out more improbable wins, more comebacks, defied the odds, more times than any player in the history of football. And he's going to do it again. And if he doesn't do it again, he's going to go down fighting, trying to do it again. That's who he is. Excuse me, I'm coughing. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's what this team is. And I, for one, not as a Patriot fan, as a football fan, am going to enjoy it. So let the, you know, the nitwits on sports radio ruin the season for you, fine, but I'm not going to let it ruin. I'm going to enjoy every last second as a fan of football, just like I enjoy every game, whether it's a high school game, college game. I love the sport, and if you love the sport, you have to love watching, if this is the end, watching Tom Brady fight his last round on the NFL football field in a Patriots uniform. This is exciting. This is thrilling. And don't forget, they're making this team sound bad, Kevin. This is not a bad football team. This is a very good football team. This team right now, if you compare them to all their Super Bowl champions, and you know what we do at Cold Hard Football Facts, we run everything through the prism of the stats and the data and the Cold Hard Football Facts. This team is right on level, if not better, at this point in the season, every champion that's come before, and every Patriots champion that's come before. I would not be shocked to see this team reach the Super Bowl. And these other teams, these great Patriots teams we look back on fondly, have struggled. They fought to win games. It wasn't easy. It was hard. And that was the joy in football, the joy that it is hard. It is a struggle. The NFL is not easy. The games aren't easy, even for great teams. And that's the joy in the game. The joy is in the struggle. The joy is in the fight. And if you don't enjoy the struggle, if you don't enjoy the fact that the Patriots' offenses have to come up with creative ways to score, then you don't enjoy football. It's not going to be easy. It's never been easy. None of their champion teams had it easy. They had it hard. And that's what made it fun. That's what made this team a joy to watch. So I'm just sick of the nitwits on sports radio trying to make this like doom and gloom. This is fun. This is what football is all about. And I, for one, am going to enjoy every last second of it.
And it's interesting.
Sorry for the rant, Ken.
No. I appreciate it. But we do. We have a few more minutes with you, so it's good. I do want to make a quick notation where you had mentioned about, you know, the original Margaret Houlihan in the movie MASH, which was, it may have been a movie about a war zone and surgeons in a war zone, but yep. Football was part of that movie too.
That's right, with one of the most politically incorrect scenes of all time.
Right.
What was his name, Spear Chucker? I forget the last name of the football. But you couldn't make that scene in this day and age, you know?
Right.
And it was such a politically incorrect movie, and it was the movie. So, honestly, my favorite show, I'm a Boston guy. I love Cheers. It's probably my all-time favorite show, but
MASH
to me, I'm old enough to remember watching MASH as a kid. MASH to me was the most brilliant show ever created for television because it was so dark. It was such a dark comedy, but brilliantly funny at the same time, and being a student of military history, it was originally, it was about Korean War, but it came out during the time of the Vietnam War, and it was all this, anti-war, anti-war thread through the whole thing, which was one of the foundational principles of the show. But it was brilliant. It was a brilliant show. And any kids out there who haven't seen it, go pull it up on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, wherever it might be. But a brilliant show. But yeah, Sally Kellerman with the original Hot Lips Houlihan in the movie.
It's worth noting also is that the final episode of MASH, I think it is still one of the most watched series finales in TV history.
I'd have to Google it, but I believe it's the most watched television program in American history, period.
I believe it,
like, more than Super Bowls, even. And I remember watching it. What year was it, like, 82, 83, somewhere around then?
No, 70s. I want to say it was mid-70s to early 80s.
I think the show ended in the early 80s, but I remember watching the season finale. It was the biggest thing in American pop culture at the time. I was probably, 12, 13, 14 years old, but I remember watching it, and everyone watched it. Well, again, though, Kevin, when we were kids, there was only three television stations.
That's right.
And you had to watch it.
Right. And you had to get up to change the TV.
We didn't have remote control. We're dinosaurs, Kevin. You and I are dinosaurs,
We
had a remote control at my house. It was me.
Right. Kerry,
your dad would tell you, go change the channel.
all right, Dad, I'll do that. Kerry, we just got a couple of more minutes with you here now. As this is the final time that I've teased this with my earlier guests, this is going to be probably my final time talking to you in 2019 and the final time talking to you this decade. What are you most thankful for this holiday season, this Christmas season?
you put me on the spot a little bit. I don't know. I get so much to be thankful for, Kevin. I can't even begin to list it. I have great friends. I've had, you know, I've great people around me. You know, I've been very lucky. We talked about Boston College earlier and how emotional I got thinking about, you know, Pete Fraser. I'm thankful to have great institutions in my background. Thankful to live in a great part of the country. Thankful to live in a nation that gives so, that's done so much for so many people around the world, to live in a place that people literally are dying to get to, because I know it's sometimes trendy to hate on this country, but we live in the greatest country in the history of the world. And I get up every day. You know, I'm a fan of military history.
Yes.
I traveled this year to Normandy for the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I went to 4 different American military cemeteries in France to pay our respects to American soldiers from World War One and World War Two buried overseas. And I honestly, at the end of the day, I love this country, and I love the fact that we come from all different backgrounds, and we have opportunities to succeed and thrive, no matter how humble our beginnings, Kevin. So that's what I'm most thankful for.
Okay, and then I have to ask you, because I wouldn't be a proper football fan myself, do you feel that the Patriots will be one of the two teams to make it into the Super Bowl? And who, if they are fortunate enough to make it to the big game again, who do you think they'll meet up with, and who do you think would be the best matchup?
Well, right now, if I'm a betting man, I have to think the Ravens are the team to beat. They just are. They've just been better than the Patriots to this point. Doesn't mean the Patriots can't beat them. I do think the Patriots will be in the AFC title game, whether it's here or in Baltimore. If I'm a betting man, I'm Baltimore. But as far as an opponent, wouldn't it be great, the two teams, to see the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo? And the 49ers are an all-around great team, using the stats we look at, Cold Hard Football Facts. But what might even be better, if Drew Brees and Tom Brady gunned it out in a Super Bowl? They are one touchdown pass apart on the career all-time touchdown list. Drew Brees has actually thrown one more touchdown as we speak than Tom Brady in their careers. And they're both going to surpass Peyton Manning, who's number one right now, in the next, you know, couple weeks. And that would be great to see these two warriors, these two gunslingers, these two great quarterbacks have in a showdown at the end of their careers. I think that, to me, would be most exciting. But if I'm a betting man, I'm looking at Baltimore, San Francisco.
I definitely have to have you on after the new year, and we'll discuss this at length. Maybe we bring the dynamic duo back together, yourself and Jerry Thornton, for a come-to-Jesus, who's-going-to-win-the-Super-Bowl conversation.
I'd love to do that. By the way, just for your listeners on the South Shore, Jerry and I are hosting what's become the hottest new comedy series in greater Boston, called Jokes in the Water at Victory Point in Marina Bay, if you don't mind me putting in a little plug.
Sure.
We have a New Year's Eve show coming up, a late-night New Year's Eve show on the boardwalk in Marina Bay at the function room, the Victory Room at Victory Point. And it's going to be a great night. We've sold out. We've done one show a month starting in September. We've sold out every show. We're doing a special show on New Year's Eve. We picked another sellout. Greg Murphy, who you probably know, local comedian. Paul Keenan is performing. Jerry Thornton's our host and MC. Jokes in the Water at Victory Point in Marina Bay. It's a great show, and we'll be there New Year's Eve. And I'd love to do your show with Jerry as we do each year.
Excellent. Well, Kerry, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
All right, Kevin. Thank you, brother. Keep up the good work.
There he is, Kerry J. Byrne, to wrap up our program. And we want to thank you for tuning in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.